our epistle lesson today comes from Paul's second letter to the Corinthians in the 5th chapter, beginning at verse 17, as we hear Paul writing of a new creation. So if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. All this from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them and entrusting the message of reconciliation to us. So we are ambassadors for Christ, since God is making his appeal through us. We entreat you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Let us pray. Lord God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. We are in week 2 of our month-long series about vacations we need to take, particularly as they apply to our spiritual lives. We know the power of a good vacation. It renews us, rejuvenates us. And so why not take a vacation in our spiritual lives to help us reconnect with God and deepen our relationship? Last week we talked about a vacation from sin. We were challenged to stop making excuses for our intentional and blatant sinning, because sin places a barrier between God and us. This week, the vacation that we're about to embark on is a vacation from guilt. Guilt is a powerful tool that wields a lot of control and weight in our lives. We heard the power of guilt being expressed in the story of the prodigal son from Luke. The son, upon returning home, is filled with guilt as he anticipates the way that his father will receive him. He knows what he will say to his father before he ever leaves the pigs in the field. In fact, he says it in Scripture. He says, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired hands." And then he heads out down the long road home. And as he's drawing near, almost completed his journey home, his father sees him and comes running to meet him on the road. And anticipating his father's disappointment and anger, as soon as he gets near enough, the son begins to call out what he had practiced, expressing his guilt. "Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son." And that's as far as he gets before his father interrupts him and commands his servants to go and pull out the finest robe and put it on his son, to grab sandals for his feet and a ring for his finger, and to start the barbecue with the fatted calf. It's time to throw a party for this son of mine who is lost, who is dead, is alive, and is found. The younger son in the parable from Luke is a reflection of us at times in our lives. We too have been found as those who have squandered. Perhaps it was time or energy that we squandered away. Or maybe it was our resources or abilities that we squandered. Maybe it was squandering by failing to use good judgment. Or maybe we were like the younger son, wallowing around with the pigs. Except in our case, maybe it was self-pity or desperation or despair that we were wallowing in. Many of us have felt unworthy, unworthy of God's love, unworthy of God's forgiveness, unworthy of the grace that we find in God our Father. Guilt tells us that our behaviors have fallen short and we should be ashamed. And that sense of being unworthy is a heavy weight that drags us down and that keeps us from locking our eyes on God. We think that we can never be worthy of God's love, that we can never be worthy of God's acceptance or forgiveness. And we're right. We can never do enough to earn our way into heaven. Nothing we ever do will be good enough to merit salvation. But you see, brothers and sisters, that's the beauty of God's grace. It's a gift freely given to us without price. While we were still wallowing around, while we were still unworthy, proving just how much God loves us. So we know when we have sinned, when we have fallen short, and sometimes we try to hang on to the guilt of what we have done or what we have said. We carry it around like a heavy weight on our backs, or let it irritate us, like when you get a pebble in your shoe. We've even taken on guilt that isn't ours from time to time, just so that we have something to shoulder, to carry around, a burden to bear. But we don't need to hang on to that guilt as Christian people. It's not ours to hold on to and to carry around. We try to look at it like it's some trophy. But it's just a dumb reminder of our past mistakes. We're not in the business of having a contest to see who can rack up the most guilt as Christian people. That's not a competition we're in. We're also not trying to see who can have the worst track record of their past lives. You see, what we did before we came to the life of salvation has been put out of the picture of who we are today. That's a vacation from guilt. There's a line in a popular contemporary song from a few years back that says, "No guilt in life, no fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me." And it's true. That's what our scripture reading from 2 Corinthians tells us today. That when you feel guilty, that's not something that is of God. Stick with me here. You see, if God has removed our sins as far as the east is from the west, they're gone. They're forgiven. They are wiped away. God has forgiven all the bad and wrong and messed up things that you've done and said. You no longer need to feel guilt or shame. What God desires from us instead is honesty and repentance. Here's the other thing. God doesn't use our past behavior to shame us or to guilt us into doing things. God, our loving parent, doesn't use our past against us, doesn't desire to harm us
or to get retribution. Remember with me back to the beginning of Scripture in Genesis, just after God has finished creation.
Adam and Eve are in the garden. They've been given responsibility to care for the land and the creatures, and an instruction not to eat of the fruit that is found on the tree in the center of the garden. So what happens? Well, there's a little extra coaching from a serpent who tells Eve, go ahead, taste the fruit. You'll be wise like God. And so Eve and Adam eat of the fruit that they've been instructed not to eat. And then Adam and Eve feel guilt and shame. So what do? They hide. We have a tendency to let guilt and shame creep into our lives, to take root, to tell us that we are unworthy, and to begin to create distance between us and God. We hold on to our guilt, and it teaches us to hide ourselves from God, or at least the part of ourselves that we don't want God to see. And when we are hiding from God, we have once again put up a barrier between God and ourselves. Guilt creates an obstacle in deepening our relationship with God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 reminds us that by God's grace in salvation, we can be and have become a new creation. The old, the guilt, the shame, the stain of sin, that has passed away. So for this to be true in our lives, we have to trust that God really is making us new and let go of our guilt. We have to trust that God really does forgive us, that God loves us, and stop trying to live in a hidden place. Christ Jesus has reconciled us to God, making us friends and family of God. The debts that we would have owed to God because of our sin have already been paid. The account has been zeroed out, and so you're in for an all-expenses-paid vacation, a vacation from guilt. So join me this week in taking a vacation from guilt, in trusting in God's sufficient grace so that we can grow deeper in our walk of faith without needing to hide from God. Thanks be to God who calls to us and invites us out of the shadows to walk with Him.